Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
Coming up on the show, we'll talk with a pioneer for athletes in business, former NBA pro and now successful entrepreneur, Junior Bridgman.
You know, Jim Fitzgerald, who was the owner of the Bucks when I was there, I remember sitting down with him for breakfast, and he made the statement that, you know, it's never about how much money you make. It's always about what you do with it.
We'll also talk with the CEO of the Orlando Magic, Alex Martins. The club is off to a good start this season, plus their home court getting a new name.
All that and more straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. But first, A-Rod's getting a new venture that Bloomberg is reporting. That is valued at no less than $800 million.
That's right, Michael Barr. Former Major League Baseball slugger Alex Rodriguez announced his SPAC will combine with Link Global, a satellite communications provider.
Alex Rodriguez and Link CEO Charles Miller spoke to our colleague Ed Ludlow about this deal, and A-Rod talked about how excited he is for this opportunity.
We are super disciplined, and we'd rather not do a SPAC and take something public unless we felt really passionate about it. We're long-term thinkers, and our core values are aligned. I mean, it's such an exciting space to think that this is a trillion-dollar business annually opportunity, and to connect the unconnected, to think that, you know, Charles and Link can connect over a billion people more than we have today. And if you think at Amazon, if you think of Amazon, Ed, how they've disrupted the retail business. What Link is the disrupting business where you have these cell towers where you would need a football field or two to provide. Charles has created one that his satellites go in the size of a pizza box, and then you send them to orbit. And over the next 5 years, there should be hundreds, if not thousands, of these up at orbit.
Wow. For more insight into the deal, we welcome Bloomberg News U.S. deal reporter Crystal C. Crystal, thank you so much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Hi, thank you for having me.
$800 million, that's Damian Sassauer money. But, give it up for A-Rod, because apparently, from what I understand, this technology will work on everything, including flip phones, which is a good thing for me.
Well, I don't know what phone you have, but according to A-Rod, this product, this technology will work on any phone. So it doesn't matter if you have a flip phone, if you have a 5G phone, doesn't matter where you are. I think the point of this technology, the selling point of this, is that it doesn't matter where you are, however remote you are, even though there's no actual satellite coverage, even though there's no actual cell tower coverage, you can get phone services based on that. And the main difference between this product, Link Global, and Starlink, which has been used in very like war zones or disastrous areas, is that this is a B2B product. So if you have your Verizon, T-Mobile, and T-Mobile is the customers of Link, you can have the satellite phone service as well. So you're not paying the extra dollar unless your cell company is charging you.
So who is the company's competitor at this point then? What is Link Global competing with, or who is Link Global competing with?
So the real competition here really is your old school regular cell tower. The places where it's not extremely well covered, one of their example existing customer is Rogers Communication, and a lot of Canada is still not very much covered by regular cell tower. So They have successfully made the first call from satellite to phone, and that's the main use case. They haven't really said anything about expanding it into like wall zones, like after natural disasters, but that could be another one, and that's what Starlink is famous for.
So my question is, where are we now in this technology? I mean, is it ready to roll out within, say, the next 6 months, 1 year? I mean, how long until we start seeing the service hit the everyday customer?
So they actually already sent three satellites to space. they had made a successful phone calls in a Rogers partnership, and it's not really rolled out to regular customers yet. Rogers said they would do it in 2024. There are other partnerships that they're teasing with other cellular providers, but we don't really know exactly when it will be mass rolled out. It seems like it's making progress.
I want to give a shout out to A-Rod. Crystal, can you talk more about this? This gentleman has business acumen up the skyscrapers.
I think that's very true. I think he's probably one of the very first athletes to get into the private equity space. Mm-hmm. And now you see more of them doing venture capital, doing private equity. He really has kind of transformed himself into this private equity persona, having this not only private equity fund, and he has a SPAC. And after him, you see other athletes follow, like Shaq O'Neal had a SPAC after that. And you see him at these conferences. He's at Milken, like mingling with the big time, you know, John Gray and all that. So, I mean, it props to him, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely pushed in that direction for a while. And I'm glad you mentioned that he has a SPAC and other athletes, former athletes, had SPACs as well. His SPAC called Slam, it was formed during the heyday of the SPAC, so that was in, what, 2020? Can you tell us a little bit about what their intention was in terms of what kind of investments they were looking for and how that journey has gone before it eventually found a partner in Link Global?
Yeah, it's not an easy journey for A-Rod or Slam. They raised this vehicle with the intention to find targets in sports, media, entertainment, health, wellness, anything that's consumer-facing, but they ended up finding Link Global, which we just discussed is not very consumer-facing. It's a B2B business. It's not necessarily a worth business, but it's not what they intended to find. They actually had initially had conversation with a sports card maker called Panini in Italy, and that deal eventually fell apart in 2021, according to our own reporting. But a lot of the trouble isn't really finding, you know, the target that you didn't set up to find. It's also that investors kind of lost interest. Like, with the interest rate going so high, the interest that you're getting, or the upside that you're getting from putting your money in a SPAC, it's much lower. So they actually was hit with a redemption where a lot of investors took their money out, and 60% of the investors redeemed their shares. So that left them with about like $200 million when they were initially they had raised $575 million. So whatever this valuation of this deal is, so they have signed a letter of intent saying that the valuation of Link Global will be no less than $800 million. So this is them giving a commitment, but it doesn't mean that all of that money is coming from the SPAC.
So Crystal, I remember when A-Rod and his SPAC were having talks with sports card maker Panini, and I had always thought he was trying to get his hands on a Derek Jeter rookie card, but now we're talking about satellite to phone technology. And my question is a simple one. Do you believe in this technology? Does this technology resonate with you? Because I know very little about it.
See, it's really difficult for a consumer, individual consumer like myself, to say that I completely resonate with it. And I think that was why initially Slam Corp, A-Rod SPAC, was set out to find a consumer-facing business. And with him being such a household name, that theory, that kind of sell totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But being a B2B business also has its merits, even though it doesn't show up on your phone as a branded product every day, you're still using it. And a lot of the time, the contracts with businesses are more stable than the contracts with individual customers. So I guess it's not really about whether it resonates, but it's, you know, how good this business is and how good these contracts are going to be.
I want to go back to something, and you alluded to it, you know, because in Canada, like you said, that there are some issues involved. And I have to remember, yes, we're always thinking, you know, A-Rod connected to this. This is the U.S. deal. No, this is going to hundreds of people in different nations, hundreds of nations, to help around the world. And this is a big thing.
Yeah, it's not really a U.S. story only. Satellites, it's in space. Like in theory, it could go to anywhere on Earth. So this is a story, I think, more about developing country, more about undercovered area. And it's about, you know, bringing people online. And that's been the trend for the past, you know, two decades, like bringing people online, bringing the world closer. So, yeah, I would say it's more than a Canada-U.S. story.
I mean, it makes sense. It sounds like it's a utility whose time has come. But I go back to what you said earlier, which is that Slam Corp was meant initially to merge with Panini, which really aligns with A-Rod's history and what people know him as. Can you tell us a little bit more about other SPACs that were formed by former athletes? How have those turned out?
Actually, I don't remember off the top of my head how Shaq O'Neal did, but I do know just generally, we had seen so many redemptions in SPACs. So SPACs, a refresher of SPACs is that you put $10 in the vehicle and you're participating in the potential acquisition that they will do by the end of the two-year cycle. So each of these SPACs have a two-year timeline. What we have been seeing is that a lot of these SPACs have run into a deadline and they're being hit with redemptions. Investors are getting sick of locking their money up for more than 2 years. They don't want to give them the extension of more time. So a lot of these companies, a lot of these vehicles end up having to return investors' money and not do any deal at all. So either as financier, it is athletes, celebrities, they're all facing pretty much the same problem.
And when I think of SPAC, it shows you how old I am. I'm thinking of like plastic wrap. But anyway, don't mind me. Crystal C., Bloomberg News, U.S. deal reporter. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We really appreciate it. Coming up on the show, we talk with the CEO of the Orlando Magic, Alex Martins. And you're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. The Orlando Magic, they are off to a pretty good start this NBA season with young rising stars like Paolo Banchero.
Plus, on the business side, they just entered a new arena naming rights deal.
Yeah, buddy. The talk about that deal and the future of the club, we welcome Orlando Magic Chief Executive Officer Alex Martins. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with the new naming rights. You guys are going to have Kia replacing Amway?
That's correct. We've done a partnership with Kia America, and our building will now be called the Kia Center. We're extremely excited about it, to have this incredible global brand on our building and to be associated with Kia. Actually, you know, they're a partner of ours for the last 16 years, and this is just a major expansion of that partnership.
I see. Thank you for explaining that. So you're really deepening the partnership that you already have with Kia. That being the case, can you tell us a little bit about what Kia has brought to the table and what you hope it will continue to bring to the table with the Magic that you hope they can really activate around?
Well, Scarlett, you know, Kia has been a longtime NBA partner. They've been the official vehicle of the NBA and the WNBA and the G League for many years. And as I stated, you know, they've been our partner here at the Orlando Magic. This is their 16th season now. This expanded partnership is really going to give us an opportunity to take more of a global approach with Kia as our partner. Of course, Kia has been one of the fastest rising automobile manufacturers in the world. Certainly, you know, more Kias are sold in the state of Florida than any state in the United States. And this gives us the opportunity to use that platform to expand our brand, but also to help them activate with our brand as well. Not just here in the local Central Florida market, but throughout the world.
Well, Alex, I mean, this isn't the only stadium, I believe, that Kia has naming rights over. I believe they also, I believe their name is also on the historic forum in Los Angeles, if I'm not mistaken. And also, I think they have another deal with a tennis venue at Melbourne Park. My question for you, though, is with the new media deal that's projected to go to market here for the NBA, What goes into that? I mean, how does Kia get involved with that? Does this help them in any way, shape, or form in terms of getting their branding out? I'm just curious to hear how that kind of factored into the deal.
Well, Damien, you know, it really, when it comes to naming rights on a building, particularly with a professional sports franchise, as you know, when all of the accounts of a specific game are broadcast or are written about or go out through social media, et cetera, the name of the building is typically associated with that particular contest. And what Kia sees here is the opportunity, again, to broadcast their brand worldwide, associated with a strong NBA brand in the Orlando Magic, that goes beyond any of the other naming opportunities that they've had in the past. The Kia Forum, for example, although it is a great entertainment venue, very historic, as we all know, there's no professional sports team playing there in the Kia Forum. So this gives Kia the opportunity again to be on the international landscape through media. And as you say, as the NBA begins to go into their new media deal in the next couple of years, we certainly expect that media, those media rights will expand the exposure of the NBA. In addition to the fact that the NBA is one of the, if not the most followed professional sports league in social media, with over 2.1 billion followers of NBA content and media, that will give Kia another opportunity through that medium to expose their brand.
And we're going to file this under the cool fringe benefits part, because part of the deal with you guys, Kia, they're going to install electric car charging stations outside of the arena, which means I probably am going to have to dump my 1972 Vega to get one of these new electric vehicles.
Well, Michael, this naming actually comes at a very opportune time for Kia, as they have just launched in this past week or so their new EV9 three-seat SUV, really the first three-seat electric SUV of its kind in its class. And so this really gives Kia an opportunity to use this platform of putting their name on the building to help them launch that vehicle. And our fans are going to be able to benefit from that. Certainly, you know, the additional electric charging stations in our parking garage here at the Kia Center, in addition to the fact that this expanded partnership is going to bring opportunities for Kia vehicle owners. I mean, we'll have a special lounge here at the Kia Center for those that own Kia vehicles, and we'll have a lot of different perks and benefits throughout the course of the season, specifically for those who own Kia vehicles.
Well, as you said, Alex, this is really just about deepening and building upon an existing relationship with Kia. Damian had mentioned about the NBA media deal that'll be expiring next year, and we know that the NBA has discussed potentially bringing in one or two more partners, for instance, a Netflix or an Amazon. From where you sit, what do you think a new media partner has to have in order to do business well with the NBA? Because it's not just doing business with each other, but there's a lot of cross-branding and synergies that need to be considered as well.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's definitely evidenced, you know, by our relationships with our current media partners, with Disney, ABC, ESPN, and then, of course, Warner Brothers Discovery with our TNT partnership. And those partnerships have been in place for many, many years. And both the NBA and those media outlets have benefited equally, you know, from the exposure of the NBA through those mediums. A streaming platform such as Netflix or Amazon will broaden that even further. And we certainly believe, you know, the NBA and the strength of its brand and the strength of its product will be able to help those mediums grow as well, just as ESPN and ABC and TNT have seen, you know, their mediums grow tremendously with the association in the NBA. So I think that will transform itself into streaming, whatever platform the NBA ultimately ends up on. And there'll be strong partnerships, just like the partnerships that we have currently with our national media partners.
You know, Alex, I'd love to spend all our time talking about the Kia brand in the Orlando area and what it means for, you know, your team. But I mean, can we just for 1 second talk about Jalen Suggs? I mean, give me a break. I mean, what a revival here, man. And, you know, I'm looking right now at the odds for the Magic to win. I mean, the Magic are fourth in the East. Odds to win the NBA championship. I mean, you guys are below the Indiana Pacers, who are barely above 500. I mean, what's up with that? Talk to us about the team. What are your prospects for the rest of the season?
Well, we're certainly excited about the start to this season that we've had. The team, as you know, has been in a rebuilding mode for the last several years, and we've built primarily through the draft. And so we have a great young core of players that now are coming into their own. You know, players like Jalen Suggs and Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and many more. But the team has really come together. They've gelled together. They have a great camaraderie and chemistry amongst themselves. Coached by a great young coach in Jamal Mosley, his third season as our head coach. And the team has really come together here at the beginning of the season. But we all know it is a long season, and health is an important factor that needs to be maintained during the course of the year if we're going to continue to play at the level that we've played here in the early season. But we're excited about it. We certainly believe that this is a team that has the opportunity to make it into the playoffs this year. And then once we're in the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But we're excited about it. Great young team on the rise. And that really, you know, coincides with a great young brand, really, when you talk about automotive brands in Kia on the rise at the same time. As President Yoon from Kia, you know, described to me prior to our announcement, you know, he really feels that we're in concurrent places in an automobile manufacturing company that is certainly on the rise and growing on an annual basis, and a young NBA basketball team that's on the rise and growing into contention again.
Speaking as a native Detroiter, Alex, can you call up the Pistons just to give some advice? Speaking, asking for a friend, and, you know, because we're having such
no
a great season. No,
we've all been there. You know, you have to go through the down times to get to the competitive times again. And I'm sure everybody in Detroit is going to do a great job of rebuilding that team and get them back into contention, you know, here soon.
Oh, Alex, you are such a class act, because there's down and then there's real down. And then there's where my Detroit Pistons are under the carpet right now. They're going to rebuild. Not right now. They probably won't make the playoffs like the Orlando Magic will this season, because you guys have a great team. And Alex, good luck to you guys. Again, Alex
Thank
Martins,
you.
Chief Executive Officer of the NBA's Orlando Magic. Thank you again for talking with us.
Thank you all very much.
Coming up, we talk with a pioneer for athletes in business, former NBA pro and successful entrepreneur, Junior Bridgman. That is up next on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest-growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle-market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing. The passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Thanks for joining us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big old money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with my colleagues Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. Junior Bridgman was able to turn a nice career in the NBA into a big career in business.
And Bridgman, of course, played for 12 years in the NBA, mostly with the Milwaukee Bucks. After retiring, he became a restaurateur, founding a company called Mana Inc., which is now one of the largest restaurant franchise operators in the country.
Yeah, one of the largest, but now he is CEO of Heartland Coca-Cola Bottling Company, the culmination of a relationship he started with the soda maker back during his playing days.
Well, now I'm hungry and thirsty. Scarlett, Damien, and Bloomberg U.S. sports business reporter Randall Williams recently got a chance to chat with Bridgman about his pivot from the pros to a successful career in the fast food business and more. Let's listen in on that conversation.
You are one of the world's wealthiest former athletes. Despite never making more than $350,000 thereabouts a season during your NBA career. So my question to you is, did you spend a lot of time plotting out life after basketball while playing in the NBA? Or did you address it mainly after retiring?
No, a lot of it went on while I was playing. And you got to think back, as I think back to that time, very few players back in my time were going to retire with enough accumulated money where they didn't have to do anything the rest of their life, so to speak. And so, you know, unlike maybe today's world. So everybody back then had an eye on what am I going to do when my playing career is over with. And so a lot of us worked in the summertime. And I spent a couple of years working at Howard Johnson's, learning the hotel business.
Great hot dogs.
I worked at an insurance consulting firm for a couple of years. And you did all that just trying to get experience and also thinking, is this an area that may make sense for me whenever the playing time is over with?
Well, Junior, let's go back in time. Let's go back all the way to 1975. You were a rookie coming into the NBA, 3 weeks in, and all of a sudden you're traded from the Los Angeles Lakers to the Milwaukee Bucks in exchange for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that began, you know, the Showtime Lakers, I guess, is what you want to call it. So let's just, you know, imagine that in reverse. Let's say that trade never happened and you're in Los Angeles. Do you think that you're going to find your way into fast food franchises, Wendy's, Chili's, you know, the bread, the butter, everything, Junior? You know, how did you get to where you are? And do you think that if that trade never happened, your life would be much different than it is today?
Oh, I definitely think so. It's really interesting that the area of the country, so to speak, or the area that you're living in, how that influences your perspective on things to do. And obviously in LA, you meet a lot of people that were in the industry of making movies or making TV shows and met a lot of Hollywood people. So you probably would have, if I had started there, would have been influenced into maybe getting involved in some aspect of the movie or TV or something.
Yeah, you would have been an airplane, Junior.
Right, exactly.
Well, it would have been a great movie to be in with Kareem back then, but you never know. I mean, do I think I would have been a movie? No, but you might have been in the background doing something, maybe helping to produce or something along those lines.
Now, when did you realize that all of the classes you were taking and the things that you were investing in were a good opportunity? Because obviously these things have grown over time. But at one point, did you realize, like, okay, this is going to be really good?
You know, I don't think that thought ever really came about until you really had a company that had some size. And by that, I mean, we were doing maybe, you know, $500 million a year or more in sales. I think up to that time, you just thought about just growing a company. And as we grew, we were able to provide opportunities for people to enhance their life or have a better way of living. So, and not until I think we got to a point like that where people started to take notice and say, well, now you're somewhat of a significant company, and definitely in the restaurant business, we were a significant size.
I think it's so interesting what you're saying about how most of the players back then in the 70s and the 80s had to think about what they were going to do after their career. They were spending their summers interning, essentially, looking for different opportunities, trying out different things. Talk about the differences between NBA players back then and, you know, what has happened since then in the 90s, in the millennium. Obviously, players today make a lot more, but is there enough emphasis on money management, on career management, on career development, and having a post-career plan that they can really engage with, as opposed to just kind of making as much money as they can right now and then seeing what happens later?
You know, Jim Fitzgerald, who was the owner of the Bucks when I was there, I remember sitting down with him for breakfast, and he made the statement that, you know, it's never about how much money you make. It's always about what you do with it. And it didn't really hit home with me until later on. And thinking back, you know, I'll give you one quick example. When I came into the league in 1975, the total salary for the Milwaukee Bucks, that's 12 players and three coaches, 15 guys. The total salary for our team that year was $1.8 million.
Sheesh.
And so,
it's not even a minimum nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, really. And so comparatively, you know, there wasn't a lot of thoughts on you know, financial planning and all of that. And as things have progressed and the players, you know, make a lot more money, they've instituted programs and had people come in and talk to them about what to do with your money, saving your money, not getting involved in scams and all of that. But even with all of that, unfortunately, too many players still today wind up getting involved in the wrong things or doing the wrong things, and end up losing their money. And you know, when I was involved heavily with the Players Association, we saw that year in and year out. And it didn't matter how much money you made, if you went the wrong way or did the wrong things, you could just as easily lose your money as somebody who made a little bit of money.
Well, Junior, what you do with your money, I mean, let's take a step back for our audience here. 163 Wendy's old-fashioned hamburger restaurants in 5 states, 24 Chili's restaurants in 4 states. By the way, this is Mana Inc., and this isn't even the company that you're currently involved with, right? I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, you're now the CEO of Heartland Coca-Cola Bottling Company. So how do you make that switch from being a restaurateur into Smart Water, Monster Energy, Coke, Sprite, and Fanta? I mean, what's that all about?
You know, the thing that I learned early on is that what did it take for you to get to the NBA? And, you know, Malcolm Gladwell in one of his books writes that, you know, it takes 10,000 hours in any one area for you to become proficient and really skilled in that area. And I thought back to basketball, and yeah, I probably put in 10,000 or more hours practicing basketball growing up and was fortunate enough to get to that level. So what would make you think that you could just leave the game of basketball and go into something, some other area, and be great at it? And that's where I think a lot of players make a mistake. They make the mistake of thinking that just because I've played and I'm a professional athlete that I should step in and be the executive vice president or the CEO of a company, and I really don't know how the business really works. So it was the same thing for me. And I went back, when I got in the restaurant business, I went back and learned how to do everything from mopping the floor, cleaning the bathrooms, and making hamburgers and everything all the way up, and spent a lot of time learning the business. And it's been the same way with whatever we do. Now, obviously, surround yourself with a lot of people that still know more than you do, but you can't expect to be successful, in my opinion, unless you really know what you're getting involved in, and the nuances of every business is different.
That's Junior Bridgman, former NBA pro and a pioneer for athletes in business. We've got more from Junior Bridgman coming up.
When David Stern was the commissioner, you could have bought an NBA team. I remember talking to him, and they were selling for $400 or $500 million. And he said, you know, if you're going to get involved, you better get involved now, because in a year or two, it'll be out of reach.
That's straight ahead on the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer. We're listening in on a conversation Scarlett, Damian, and Bloomberg U.S. sports business reporter Randa Williams had with former NBA pro and now business extraordinaire Junior Bridgman. Let's listen to more of their discussion.
So now I want to ask you about what could potentially be next, because as we know, the business of sports world is ballooning, franchise valuations are rising, everybody is buying something. For you, could you see yourself owning a piece of a team or maybe even a WNBA franchise?
You know, ironically, I was a minority owner in a team, NBA team out on the West Coast. I won't say which one, and I got out after a year because maybe that was the wrong thing to do.
I was going to say, do you regret that?
Yeah. Yeah, looking at it today, probably not a smart move, but what being a minority or a limited partner, you don't have a lot of say-so in maybe the direction of the team. And I thought that back at that time, because I had played, I could have added a lot more than what they maybe wanted to do or wanted to get from me. And plus, it was a going, traveling from the middle part of the country all the way to West Coast to see a game wasn't that efficient either. But today, well, I'll even go back. So when David Stern was the,
commissioner.
Basically, the commissioner. You could have bought an NBA team. I remember talking to him, and they were selling for $400 or $500 million. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you're going to get involved, you better get involved now, because in a year or two, it'll be out of reach. And you know, you're thinking, okay, is this for real, or is he just trying to kind of
hype it up,
tell you on what's going to happen? And
tried to tell you.
He was trying to tell me, and I was too hard-headed to listen. Nowadays, the values, I mean, I don't know, and I'm thinking the same way, $3 billion, $4 billion, $5 billion for a team. Who's going to come in and pay $7, $8, $9 billion? Yeah. You know, how many people can do that, or how many, is it going to be PE firms or whatever? But somebody, the history of history has shown us there's always somebody out there willing to pay, willing to be an owner. So, but for me, I think the time has passed.
The time may have passed for you to come in as an owner of an NBA team or another sports franchise, but you, I believe, are the current owner of Ebony and Jet Magazines. So you have an interest in media. I'm wondering how you're thinking about media rights and live sports rights from that media perspective, because that has also skyrocketed, and that's where the real money can be made.
Yeah, I agree totally. And you know, having something, being able to present something live on TV is what the content that everybody kind of wants at this time. Yeah, my daughter pretty much runs Ebony and Jet Magazine, and the thesis behind that acquisition was Ebony had 75 years of content. Mm-hmm. And you think back to some of the movies like Hidden Figures. Yeah, mm-hmm. That was a pretty good movie. That was first written about in Ebony I don't know how many years ago, and I think that's where they got the idea. So everybody, being a lot of your services that are on cable, they all want to have access to Ebony because they want the content over all those years to make it into maybe a movie, another movie, or a three-part series, whatever. So that's where they saw the real value with bringing Ebony back in the future with Ebony. And I think it's the same thing somewhat with media, I agree with you that if you can figure out where to go, what to do, I think that's where the tremendous amount of, or the big money can be made.
And, you know, Junior, I look at Heartland Coca-Cola Bottling Company, and I look at how it serves the, you know, Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, et cetera. And then you go on the website and you look at who your partners are, you know, the Chiefs, the Cardinals, the Monarchs, as well as Six Flags. And so, you know, I take that and I look at that and I think about, you know, your media deals and all the opportunities that are afforded to someone like you, you know, where you've come from, your experiences with the NBA, with the Players Association, and how you can make that work for the company, no?
Yeah. And that's what we try to do. We try to bring, you know, not just sell product in their venues, but we try to help them, same thing, promote their product, you know, their team, certain players, and add value other than just, okay, you know, we're here trying to sell different products when the fans are in the stands. We did a great product for the Kansas City Chiefs a number of years ago. We did a soda can, Coke can, and if you went on and downloaded the Kansas City app, you could hold that up to the can and it would show you a special moment in history of the Kansas City Chiefs over all those years that come on your phone. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we try to do to add value to everybody that we work with and are fortunate enough to, you know, to be a customer or a client of ours.
And I want to close with one more question about diversity in sports. Finding someone from your era who is able to grow their business and their earnings the way that you have is very rare. When you're talking to athletes of today and really business people at large, what is your advice to them and what do you say to help them grow similar to you?
Well, you know, the first thing try to get them to understand is they're starting at it from a different point. I mean, you know, I've talked to several teams and, you know, looked around the room of the athletes and, you know, you got guys making $10 million, $12 million, in some one case, $19, $20 million a year and even more than that now. So, you know, I try to get them to understand they have a great opportunity in preserving where they are now and what they have at the end of their career should be what's most important to them. It shouldn't be about trying to go out and, you know, I want to buy this condominium development or I want to buy this or that. Figure out where you're going to be when your career is over with and how much money you want to have amassed at that point in time. And for a lot of them, I mean, they will be basically rich or wealthy just from doing that.
Right.
And then I say, okay, now if you want to do something, go figure out how to do something, how to get involved with a business or a company or something like that, that you understand and you know, not investing in something that your second cousin on your mom's side brought to you and thought that it should be something that you should do. True story, I had a player come to me and tell me he wanted to get involved in the restaurant business. I said, so, okay, what do you want to do? He said, I want to get involved at this pretzel company. And I said, so why do you want to do that? Oh, you know, I love the pretzels. I said, well, okay, that's good. But let me ask you, when you retire, how much money do you want to have in the bank? And he was there with his representative, and they thought about it. And they said, well, when he's all done, he should have $80 million in the bank. And so I said, well, when you have $80 million in the bank, come talk to me about the pretzel business then. You know, not taking what you have now and investing and trying to get involved in a whole bunch of pretzel restaurants that may or may not be successful. And if they're not, could cost you a third of what you could have amassed at that time. I said, there's no reason for you to do that now. And as he thought about it, you know, I think he came to the realization that, yeah, you know, I don't know who's really going to run it. I don't know the business. I'm relying on somebody, taking a risk. Why am I doing that? I know he didn't go out and get involved in business at that time.
Junior Bridgman, Chief Executive Officer, Heartland Coca-Cola Bottling Company, former Milwaukee Buck. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Thank you.
No, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, and look forward to hearing.
Thank you for listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports Show. We are here each and every week at the same time. I'm Michael Barr for my colleagues Scarlett Fu and Damian Sassauer, with a special thank you to Bloomberg U.S. Sports Business reporter Randall Williams. Tune in again next week for the latest on the stories moving big old money in the world of sports. You're listening to the Bloomberg Business of Sports from Bloomberg Radio around the world.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.